Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Left Hand, Right Brain. I hope this podcast finds you well. And I know I say it every podcast, but I say it because I really mean it. For all your likes, your subscribes, your rates, and reviews, you know I preach. And you know if you like what you're hearing on this Left Hand Right Brain podcast, you can check out all the other pods under the LHRB banner by going to lefthandrightbrainpod.com. That's where you'll find links to all the other podcasts I do and produce, like Los Chupacabros, Help Me, I'm Scared, another podcast about horror films with Katie Bowman, Let's Get Drunk and Talk About Your Wedding with Jen and Mel, as well as the backlogs of all the JDJOs, left-hand, right-brains, appetites, things like that. You can also find them wherever you get podcasts, but that's the hub. Should I say it again? Have I said it enough? Lefthandrightbrainpod.com. Okay, let's do a comedy plug for me. I'll be doing stand-up on April 6th. I know I said April 2nd in the last couple podcasts, but I was wrong about that. It's going to be April 6th. I'm pretty sure that's a Wednesday. I'll look it up. Yes, Wednesday, April 6th. I will be in Fort Collins doing Fort's Funniest. It's a comedy contest that the Comedy Fort is running. And here's an exclusive offer for members of the Brain Trust. If you go to their website, the comedy, www.comedyfortcollins.com. Yeah, and I'm old school. I still put www in front of everything. You go to the tickets, all right? And then you put in the promo code FUNNIEST, okay? And that's going to zero out your ticket order. I just need to get people there, okay? It's not even going to cost you any money for tickets, all right? I need butts in seats for myself. That's just part of how competitions work. And then if you could, in the notes section, just put my name down, you know, so they know that you're coming for me specifically and that I could maybe draw some people to the club and maybe they could have me back, you know, on a not comedy night or a contest night. You know what I'm saying? Let's play the game. Play it with me. There is a true drink minimum at the club because that's how clubs work. So I hope to see you there Wednesday, April 6th at the Comedy Fort. And you know this podcast is brought to you by the Vail Comedy Festival. Past guest Mark Masters runs the Vail Comedy Show, but this year he's putting on the very first Vail Comedy Festival. That's going to be May 27th through the 29th. All right, we got confirmed headliners like Mary Lynn Ricecuff, Caitlin Palufo, Usama Siddiqui, Steven Rogers, and Hazmin Garza. And these are some legit names, okay? So definitely worth the ticket price. Let's see what... I'm going to click, if you want to see ticket prices and hotel and ticket prices, things like that, go to vailcomedyfestival.com. See, I'm going to click on festival passes right now. I think they're starting at like $200 all the way up to $1,000. Okay. But that includes a bunch of different VIP stuff. I was going to say a different word, but no, it's good things that is definitely worth it. Okay. So let's see. Yeah, we got a general admission for the three-day festival. It's going to be $200, early bird access. So general admission, I guess, doesn't include the headliner show, but the early access three-day pass is $250, and that includes access to the headliner shows. You got things where you can get reserved seats for more. You got platinum packages where you can hit up some parties. You get like a welcome package, thing like that. Things like that. I'm getting all mush mouthed here on this intro. Then you got your Bitcoin 3-day festival pass. That is $1,000. Purchasers are instantly foundational supporters of the Vail Comedy Festival. They will receive all the benefits of every other pass and get to choose a 24-letter identifier or message that will appear on the festival website and other promotional materials, subject to approval. There's a limited quantity available, so get on that. Everything I hear about the Vail Comedy Fest, it sounds like it's going to be a good time. So check it out. It's just, I think Vail's like 100 miles from Denver, so it's a quick drive. It's not like you're going to Telluride or anything like that. That is a longer drive for sure. Get to see the beauty and the majesty of Colorado and hear some funny comics.
So check that out. All information, ticket details, again, veilcomedyfestival.com.
Okay, and that brings us to this week's podcast, which is with Darius Dinkins. All right, local, homegrown, Colorado native comedian Darius Dinkins. Fairly newcomer to the scene. I've been seeing him around. We get into it in the podcast, but he just had lots of confidence. All right, from the moment I saw him, I was like, this guy's been doing it for a while. Turns out, you know, not as much, but he's doing it with a lot of intention. Okay, he's very good. I'm a little jealous, but that's how it goes. Got to give it up. Take my hat off to the talent of the man. I was on a show with him a couple weeks ago, and it came out that he has like a really big TikTok following, and I just got into some discussions with him about social media stuff, and I thought we should have him on as kind of like a social media expert. So when we get into that, the social media discussion in the podcast, you know, he knows what he's talking about. You know, at least he's got something to show for his opinions and what he's talking about with social media. Also a super funny comedian. You should check him out wherever you can. His Instagram and TikTok is the other Darius, which I definitely recommend you follow. And then keep an eye out for him being on any shows. He said he's going to start booking some stuff here soon. I think the production company is called Slam Nuba. I had a fun conversation with Darius. Thank you so much for doing it. So let's get to this week's podcast, part of Left Hand Right Brain Productions. Yeah, how'd you like that show we did over at Jester's Palace there?
You know what? It's like, you kind of got to do some shows like that. I don't know. I, like, talked about it while I was even there. Is like, if things are going good, then they're great. But then, like, I don't know. It's kind of a touchback with, like, see, I'm bad at explaining even the concept. But I feel like sometimes you need to have those type of rooms. That's where you get strong to me. Uh-huh. And also, it's just, if you can perform for like two or three people, you can definitely do it in front of hundreds.
Interesting.
You know, because it's a lot harder to me. So it like, it makes those other situations where you have a great room, where you have an interactive audience, where you have a captivated, you know, you have like a good setup, it makes it all that easier.
I mean, they were pretty interactive. I mean, the two people that were in the audience were interactive.
Yeah, they were. Sure. They was having time of their lives.
Yeah, just so the listener knows, we're talking about a show that Phil Corder puts on at Jester's Palace. I think it's every Wednesday. Do you know about that at all, Darius?
I'm not sure. It might be every other.
Yeah, well, check it out. It's called Spelling. It's called Spelling Bee, right?
It's called The Joking Bee.
The Joking Bee, sorry. Yeah. And comics. He gives you a random word, and then you riff on it for a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. We did it a couple weeks ago together, the audience was scarce. You know, we're just talking about that. I've always come from, or at least I've heard and tried to embody the idea that you know, you perform for the people that are there.
Right. Yeah. And by the way, I'm sure it was because of weather reasons, because didn't it just have that snowstorm?
I think every show this whole winter has gotten fucked. On a Wednesday. And every show on a Wednesday has gotten fucked because it snows like Monday, Tuesday, real hard.
Yeah. So yeah. I remember that. I feel I'm going to blame the weather on.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's not saying anything against the show or anything. You know, just that's how shows go sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was doing Comedy Save the Video Star at Mutiny, like every now. Mutiny is at least cool because you get some people coming in and out, because I mean, people come to the bookstore, so they'll go to the back to see what's going on.
Exactly. Yeah. You get a lot of foot traffic.
Yeah. So that's nice. And a place with Jester's Palace, that's like a theater that's up top of downtown, you're not going to get any foot traffic.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, that's just how it goes. So there are two people, you brought them, or they came for you, which is pretty flattering.
Yeah, it is. I posted it on my story, like on my Snapchat even. And then, yeah, so they came through, which I wasn't expecting at all.
No, that was great. We wouldn't have had an audience otherwise. So yeah. It's pretty dope. And I mean, I was trying to play with them, you know, get them to talk a little bit. Maybe, you know, I welcomed it too much. What do you think with those interactions?
I think that happens almost with any show. Like if you play with them too much, now they think they're like a part of the show.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so then like audience members like become a lot more vocal when you're vocal with them. So it's like, I like crowd work to an extent. You got to do it and then put a cap on it and move on.
Right.
You know?
And did you move here from somewhere else?
Mm-mm.
Doing comedy?
No, I started here.
Okay. Because recently, I've only been seeing you around recently, like Lines There, I think, is the first time I remember seeing you at an open mic.
It was probably there.
And I was just like, this guy is too confident. I was like, I haven't seen this guy before. He's got too much confidence.
I appreciate
You're a tall guy. You're touching the ceiling. It's like, it's a cool look. You know, you're very relaxed.
Yeah.
I'm like, God damn it. How do these guys are coming out of nowhere? Just fully formed.
That's how it might have seemed coming out of nowhere, because for a while I kind of popped in and out of the scene. I was in school.
Like pre-COVID?
Yeah. So pre-COVID, like I was in school, so I would do like a couple mics and then not
go Roadrunners.
Yeah. And then and then not touch it again for like months. And then come back to a couple, like a week's worth of mics, and then not touch it again. Right, and then might come back for a showcase, you know. It was like that for like a minute.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Man, but you're getting booked on showcases.
Mm-hmm.
It's dope. I mean, I guess just for me, how are you getting booked on showcases? I mean, if you're only coming out to mics once in a while.
It was because I have a very bad, I don't want to use the word fear. I hate bombing.
Sure.
I hate not doing good.
I hear you.
To the point that if I go out, like if I make the decision that I'm going out tonight, it's because I fully intend on, like, I have a set that I have down. I know my jokes. I know what I want to talk about. I know the transitions, all of that. Mm-hmm. So if you do see me out, I'm not just fucking around. I'm not winging it. I'm not like on stage pulling my phone out. Oh, I forgot what I want to talk about.
Yeah.
And then, you know, doing what a lot of them do. Because of, I didn't have a lot of time for it. I didn't have a lot of time for comedy when I was doing it. I was very intentional about it.
Right.
So.
So when you went out, you performed well, and then people were like, hey, let's book you.
Yeah.
That's nice.
So it was for me, it wasn't about like how many times someone's seen me in a month. It was about, do they remember the
quality?
One, yeah. No, the one time you saw me in the last 2 months, like I plan for you to still remember it.
Yeah. They obviously remembered you. Yeah. You're like in their mind in a good way. There's something to that. There's something to that for sure. Because I do think I've kind of reached a point where I've been going out. Not diminishing returns isn't probably the right phrase, but like I go out and I'm not always, you know, I'm half-assing it sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't always have the best sets, you know? So I think maybe it might behoove me to take a leaf out of your book there and just, you know, really try and knock it out of the park when I'm at these mics instead of going to a mic every night, but, you know, not doing very well.
That's what I recommend to folks is like, yeah, that's just the best way for me, you know, personally, out of my experience. There's no roadmap, which is crazy for comedy. Yeah. It's like everybody stuff works different. But I've seen people, like I remember there was 2 months where I was at a mic nearly every night. Because that's when I was done with school and like wanted to get back out here more. And I noticed that like people were saying the exact same joke like 3 times in a week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, it's a different room. But for a lot of the people who are booking, the people who run shows, like they've heard it before. You're not doing anything. You go on stage, you say that first thing, and then they tune out because they've heard it before. I like to, if I show up, I like for you to not have heard all of it already.
Yeah, true.
You know, at least bring people into it.
So when you're writing your bits, I mean, do you practice them out loud? How do you know they're like good unless you're out there, you know, kind of, you know, hammering the sword, you know?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I practice them out loud a lot, actually, in the shower, in the bathroom mirror, while I'm taking a shit.
taking a shit.
Everywhere, you know, anytime I'm by myself.
You're saying it out loud?
Yeah.
Okay.
So like, I remember, like, I used to work in this warehouse. People thought, like, I was a schizophrenic because, like, I would just be talking to myself.
Mm.
And, people really looked at me like I was fucking crazy. But that's what it was about. I'm rehearsing how I like for it to come out. I might redo a joke 3 or 4 times before I actually like it. And then...
Before you take it to the stage, just even for a mic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So if it's at a mic... If I'm saying it into a microphone, it's probably my 6th or 7th time saying it out loud.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then do you write anything out or anything like that? Like, is that like how you come up with bits or anything? Or is it just like life experience? Like that might be funny.
It's life experience. And then it's a good mix of like life experience. But you don't want to get too heavy into that. So a lot of the time, like if you go to a showcase and let's say your name is not on the flyer, you're not the headliner, people aren't there specifically to see you. They don't care. You know, people don't care about your personal experience until they do care.
Mm.
So it's like you talk about stuff first. You know, show them that I am funny and you should listen to me And so it's like you talk about things, could be just any type of thing that's relatable, and then that will bring them in, and then you could tell them a personal story. But if you open with a personal story, like nobody gives a shit about your uncle from whatever.
Yeah. But I was talking to some newer comic,
yeah.
Or at least I have just started seeing him post COVID, and he's been doing a set that takes like a whole open mic, you know, 3 to 5 minutes about his dad dying. And it's like, and I do a lot of that too, where I just do, you know, 3 to 4 minutes on one joke because uh-huh. I'm trying to tell a story.
Uh-huh.
So you're saying you don't think anyone cares. People are going to tune out, but that's the only way to work that joke, I think. You know, you figure out what's funny about it, especially about something that's like kind of touchy, a dead relative.
I think I know who you're talking about, because
I can't remember his name.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Goofy white guy.
Yeah, I will. You know what's one? Goofy white guy. We're talking about Denver, right?
That's all. Well, no,
I'm fucking around.
Hey. There's some goofy Mexicans.
Yeah, dealing with them. Because I'll recognize people's material before I recognize like their actual names sometimes. Yeah. So if I heard the bit, I know exactly who you're talking about. No, don't open with that. Don't open with dead dad. Say some funny shit first, and then you can tell the story.
So like a one-liner, just kind of.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like the beginning, your opening 2 minutes should be
two minutes, just
punchlines.
Interesting.
Is what I say, 2 minutes. Even though that is a while, but to me, that's what it should be like. It should be reeling them in.
Well, what's like the average length of sets you're getting on these showcases?
Average, I do like 15 to 20.
Damn. Sometime all right. 25. Yeah, that's like feature stuff, right?
Yeah,
there.
I feature a lot. 15, 20, 25.
Yeah, then 2 minutes is nothing. I mean, that's opening for you.
Yeah, so like to me, I'll spend the first couple minutes maybe fucking around with the room. You know, I'm in the back looking at people. It's like, think of a joke for that person, this person.
Interesting,
wow.
Interesting.
You know, just scan the room, really read the room before you get up there. And then, you know, do your opening joke. The first thing you should say should be funny.
Ideally, yeah.
Ideally. Ideally the first thing, because people have a short attention span.
Yeah.
So you're kind of like selling yourself up there.
Right.
You're selling yourself of why people should be listening. So it's like the first couple things should be funny. And then now I have your attention. Now I can tell you this story about my dad who died. And you care about it because you're a little invested in me now.
Mm. And you do a lot of stuff on social media. Do you take kind of that same mentality going into that? Or with, because you're like, you got a lot of TikTok followers or something that came up at that show we were at. So
yeah, it did.
Do you craft a joke for TikTok differently than crafting a joke? Or do you do jokes on TikTok?
I do. Sometimes I'll do what I want to eventually become stage material on TikTok.
Okay.
So it's like, I'll just say it into the camera, just straight up, just hold my phone out and say it. And depending on the feedback or response that I see in the comments. And like, it won't be an entire bit. Like I'll say like 2 or 3 lines that is, oh shit, excuse me.
Yeah, I always offer someone seltzer water.
Yeah.
And then the guest is just burping the whole, which is fine. You know, it's just how it goes.
Yeah. And I don't know, it's different. The internet is different because it's just so different.
Do you think it has to be funny for social media, stuff like that?
It has to either be funny or relatable. It has to be something that people want to see, want to look at, because it's too easy to just swipe past you.
Right.
There's so much media. There's so much to take in that people will move on rather than wait 11 seconds for you to entertain them. So it's like, out the gate, what is bringing them into it? You know, people have short attention span in audience. That's just cut in half 3 times on your phone because they can literally just swipe past you. You know, look at your face. I don't care. Swipe past you.
Yeah.
Listen to the first thing that you say. I don't care. Swipe past you. You know, so it's like, it has to be.
Yeah, I think you're like the idea of having you on as a social media expert, social guy. Because, I mean, you got a pretty big following. I think bigger than most people in comedy.
You know what's funny is I don't know how.
No?
No, I don't know how that happened.
I mean, you don't think you're putting out a vibe. I saw some of those TikToks. A lot of them are with your shirt off. You don't think you're putting out something. You know, honestly, got some thirst trap stuff.
Honestly, I was showing off my new tat. But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was showing off my new tat. But nah, so it's like, I got a younger cousin. I got a couple younger cousins. They told me that they like seen me on the For You page and all that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's a feel good.
Yeah, I was like, oh shit, well, all right, that's what's up. And they had questions for me and I didn't know how to answer them because they were like, are you in creator mode or regular mode? I was, what's a creator mode? And so it was like, it does well, but I don't know how because I don't know a lot about the social media, you know? So it was like, or I guess.
Is creator mode like a mindset for you or is that like a
no, like it's a like a literal setting. On the it's app? Like a separate setting okay. that you go on. And okay. I had no idea. I did not know what the fuck they were talking about. Huh. And so it was just weird like that.
So you're not really, you're not playing the game. You're not like gaming the app in any way to like try and like maximize your searchability or anything like that.
No. Nah. See, I don't even know where to begin with any of that.
Yeah, me.
Like searchability. Yeah. I was like, okay.
People are always telling me I should do that for the podcast.
For the podcast? What do you do for the podcast?
I mean, I put it out on Libsyn. Libsyn's like my hosting server, so mm-hmm. they hold all the audio information. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that goes out to everything, you know, Apple, Stitcher, what's it? What's the one with the green and the black one? The big Spotify.
Yeah, Spotify.
It goes out to all the different podcatchers. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, then it's available. YouTube is something I've been thinking about doing more. But, I mean, there's no video app component to it. So
right. It would just be audio.
A picture.
Have you thought about iTunes?
Yeah, iTunes, Apple Podcasting is iTunes. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, and that's the one, the app I open the most. Uh-huh. So it's like if there are a lot of, a couple local podcasts that only do Spotify, and mm-hmm. it's like I just don't go to that app. So it's like I don't listen.
You know what? TikTok is actually good for podcasts.
In what? How?
Like if you can upload a clip of just like a random funny moment during a podcast, people will watch that. Like I see a lot of podcast clips on my TikTok.
And is it video of them talking or is it, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's most of the time video. So you just got to get a camera.
A camera, yeah.
A camera.
Yeah, I was thinking about maybe get my, like some way to stream it on my iPad mm-hmm. or something. Just put a fucking tripod up in here mm-hmm. or something. But I've been thinking about just the fact that like, you know, a lot of people are on YouTube all the time. You know, just the convenience of being on that app might be mm-hmm. something I should be looking to. But I mean, I have, you know, 200 plus episodes that don't have any audio or visual component to them. So I don't know how to get all like that make over that transition. There.
yeah.
But anyway, that's, I mean, you know, I was just curious. And do you think TikTok versus Snapchat versus Instagram, do you do different things for the different mediums or is it just like one video and then you post it on all of them?
Nah. So Snapchat, like that's a communicate like that. If you have me on Snap, it's because you actually know me, okay. You know? So that one is a lot more personal. Instagram, I kind of just do whatever, post whatever.
Whereas TikTok, you won't just post whatever?
TikTok, I will not just post whatever. TikTok, I'll post with, again, the intention of, like, it's good. So there will be times where I catch myself posting just a whatever video, and then I'll delete it because I'm like, that wasn't good, you know?
So you are curating the profile.
Yeah. Because it's like you want it to be good. And let's say somebody stumbles on your page and they're scrolling through and that you want them to watch more stuff.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And so it's like that same way. It's the exact same formula of like they're not going to watch you talk about a personal thing if they don't care. Mm-hmm. And they have to, the only, at least in comedy, for the only way for them to really care is you're funny. So there's that. But I do have a second page on TikTok that way less followers, but but that is where I can post just whatever.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So your TikTok, I think, is the other Darius.
Yes, the other Darius.
So TikTok. Is the more specific one just the other? Is there one less other?
No, it's the other squared. No, I'm fucked.
other cubed.
I actually don't remember.
I was just curious if that was why there was two others in the
no the, main the other one. The other there's that. Was a recent name change because that's not what it used to be like a month ago. But that one was because I had to throw the second other in there because the other Darius was already taken. There was already a other Darius. So I had to do two.
To differentiate yourself. Yeah,
times two.
And just for the listener, I mean, you said that you'd mentioned that you got like opportunities to get monetized on mm-hmm. these social media and stuff. So, I mean, I think mm-hmm. that's like adds a level of legitimacy to you.
Yeah.
That, I think is interesting and worth talking about. So, I mean, I'm not trying to drill you on like, what are you doing with these things?
No, blah, no. Blah. So some of them are worth it. Some of them are not. Some of them are very, very, very not. Like I remember there was this one time somebody offered me like, goddamn, what was it, like $30 to post a video about something? Mm-hmm. Like, no, Just no.
They're just gonna like Venmo you or whatever, yeah, like straight like, up.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
so it's not like taxable or whatever.
Yeah.
Ideally, anyway.
Ideally.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I guess they could have come after you, but.
And I'm just like, that's not hardly seems
worth your
it.
Time.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, it hardly seems worth it. And like, that might be picky out of me.
No, yeah.
Because like, I've definitely heard that before. People be like, you know, if I turn something down, because goddamn sparkling water. Because I actually turn down a lot. Because I've recently decided to be more intentional with what I'm doing. Because if you're just doing everything that slides across your desk, I don't know. It's let's say I took the thing for like $30 and then now I'm kind of expecting that as like the standard as opposed to like bigger offers.
And you've gotten bigger offers.
I have.
Cool.
And so it's like, I'll take that. And then it also kind of establishes that like, even just to yourself, to hold yourself into like a higher standard. Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, that's what I've been working on lately.
And how much time do you put into a video? Like, I mean, how much time would you expect to put into, like, you know, if they wanted $30, I mean, that's like what, an hour, 2 hours, 15 an hour?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I have no idea.
Actually. It just depends on whatever.
It really depends on what they want. And then another thing is like, once it becomes a thing that I got to do, it's not fun anymore.
Right. Yeah. I totally get that.
Cause like, I started to do one and they were like, actually, could you move the can a little bit to the left? Because we want the logo more in the, and I'm like, this isn't fun.
Right.
Yeah. I don't care about this anymore. You know, I'm like, I fucking don't want to do it. It becomes I don't want to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's like, if you don't want to, it's hard to do. It's hard to like genuinely be into it. So you just don't.
And are you just shooting these things on your phone or do you have like a fancier camera and then you're uploading it? Yeah. Do you have like a lighting setup? I was just curious on like how much, you know, you've invested into the whole rig or whatever, or do you need to, you know, things like that?
No.
No, just phone.
I don't have a ring light. I don't have a stand. I don't have like what are the tripods? Record it off your phone. If you do good shit, people will like it. And that's kind of been my philosophy. That's just kind of been my approach with stand up, the social media shit. Just all, if it's good, people will like it.
Yeah, and it's not like you're doing elaborate stunts or anything like that. No. You know, you're telling jokes into the camera or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Just being you and showing off your new tats.
Showing off tats a little bit.
What was it?
It was, I got this,
He's taking off a shirt, everybody.
Yeah, it's Farsi.
I'm getting
you get
the Patreon for free over here. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, so you know, once JD gets this camera, gets this video camera, this is more incentive to do it.
For it. Damn it.
Yeah, it's Farsi. It says King in Farsi because I thought it was cool because my name Darius is in reference to King Darius of Persia. I'm pretty sure that was a Bible thing. I think it might have been. But yeah, King Darius of Persia. So that's why I got it.
Darius the Great.
Yeah. Look at him. Persian ruler.
Darius the Great. Persian ruler who served as the third king of kings.
What does that say? Achaemenid? Oh, the Achaemenid. Achaemenid. I'm going to stop.
Achaemenid.
I was very almost close.
Achaemenid Empire. Oh, interesting. And Farsi is Persian?
I guess, yeah. It's like, I suppose. Because I forget where Persia is today.
Is Farsi with a PH?
No, it's F-A-R-S-I. I forget where it is today. See, now I look bad.
Yeah, Farsi, Persian, a Persian right there.
Yeah, it's a
Persian language.
Where is Persia today? Because it gets mistaken for Arabic a lot.
I'm going to cut all this out. We're going to sound real smart. It's Iran.
Iran. That makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah.
we didn't look any of that up. That's off the top of our domes. Thank you, Metro State.
Yes. You just. That was funny as fuck. Yeah.
We both went to the same college. I thought that was cool.
We did.
What'd you go to school for?
A couple things. So the first thing I was in there for. What was the first thing?
So you like switch majors or?
I did. I switched majors. When I got to Metro. I think I was in advertising, like business or marketing. I was in marketing.
Okay.
And then I switched to education. And then I switched
to. You thought you were going to be a teacher?
Yeah, I did.
Like elementary.
I was gonna start. I was gonna start with elementary because I didn't want to be a new teacher at a high school. You know, they'll know that you're new. They won't. They'll fucking be.
You need the respect.
Yeah, and it's like they'll know you're new, and high schoolers are bad people.
Right. Yeah.
So, and then I just don't know that I was ever gonna touch middle school. You know, I just don't. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird transitional space.
Yeah, so I just don't know that I was ever going to do it. So I was going to start with elementary. I was going to do that for a couple of years and then move up. Just like easy rounds. Or not easy, but, you know, before high school.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
And then you ended with?
And then I ended with no longer attending.
Oh, so you didn't finish?
Yeah,
I didn't. Oh, sorry, I didn't know.
No, no reason to be sorry. Yeah, I didn't finish because...
you got into comedy.
I got into comedy. Yeah. I started doing this more.
Yep. Yeah, for show. Dude, yeah, I thought, you know, 3 years into comedy or whatever, or 3 years into college, I started doing comedy and I was like, I need to quit this shit. But, you know, family pressure and all that jazz, I finished.
Family pressure was no joke.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Quitting, leaving school and was not easy.
Were you going to be the first person to graduate out of college at that point?
I was
going
to be the first person to not graduate out of college.
Oh, damn. Yeah, that's so, a whole.
Yeah. So yeah. Everybody has been and finished, and I'm now the first to not.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was like a different type of, it was the same pressure at a different angle.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So they still give you shit at Thanksgiving or stuff, or how's that?
a little bit. But not
like,
a tremendous amount.
As long as you're taking care of your business.
As long as it's, now it's more like, as long as you're taking care of your business. Of course, like, it'll come up every now and then. It's like, yeah, well, if you stayed in school, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, yeah. I'm not like,
I mean, it's not a straightforward path anymore. I mean, right. I've gotten this whole thing with my family about, like I was talking to my grandpa the other day, and he was like, why don't you have, like, a career? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, to him, it's like, you go to college, you get a job, and then you're set for life.
Yeah, that's when houses were, like, three installments in 1999.
Yeah.
You know, that's when shit was not expensive.
Yeah, he bought his house for, like, under $20,000.
That's never gonna, that's unfathomable.
Yeah, and he didn't go to school either. He dropped out at, like, well, he left because he had to work for the family stuff in, like, eighth grade, I think, so.
Yeah, so it's like, you get... It's just not like that anymore.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And here's the thing is, like, I'm old enough now. I'm seeing what happened to a lot of the people who did finish school.
Yeah,
who
got crazy debt. And right, I'm not they doing have anything.
Yeah, and it was like, I know people who graduated, and then that was like a year and a half ago, and like now they still don't have a job, or they're working at another fast food place. So it's like, a degree doesn't guarantee you
anything
that life anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, now even a master's, some people struggle with it. And I know people who are in master's programs just to stay in school, to not go outside of that and deal with
it. I thought about it.
Yeah.
I thought about that.
It's like, just to not deal with the life shit. And so it's like, when it's that hard, when it's that unguaranteed, why do things that you don't want to?
Right.
When you could fail with that. You could fail with shit that you don't even want to do.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So it's like, do what you want to do, for me.
Right on.
And it should work out if it is good. Like, I don't know. I just have this feeling like of like, with as much I put into it, it's going to work out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're hustling just as much, I'm sure, as anyone else doing anything.
There's some really real hustlers in Denver comedy. I've noticed like there's some who work very hard in trying to put new showcases together and trying to fill certain gaps and just getting out for mics. I do notice and I don't know, it's cool to see and it kind of makes me look at myself like, am I working as hard as them, or am I working as smart as them, or am I doing X, Y, you know?
Yeah pre-COVID, you know, Denver comedy versus post-Denver comedy or COVID Denver comedy is like a whole new ball game for real. I mean, there's not all the gatekeepers I felt like that were there before aren't there anymore. I mean, have you felt like that at all, or you've maybe not had to deal with that as much as I have, or felt that way?
In a different way. So I've heard about that. I've heard about gatekeepers or whatever. Like, I wasn't super into the scene before COVID, actually.
Right.
Like, I was barely around.
And yeah, so it wasn't really an issue for you.
Yeah, I was barely around. I would get a show maybe because I was at a mic one time 2 months ago. You know what I mean? you know, if I'm gonna be real, like real, real shit.
Yeah, dude.
You get gatekept in a different way, being black in Denver.
Mm.
It's if I'm on a show, then you might not see any other black people on that show. Like, you get your one per show.
Right.
So if I'm on it, you might not see a Chanel Hughes on that show, too.
Yeah, yeah.
If I'm on it, you might not see a D. Kelly on that show, too. You know, you get your one, and that's for the showcase, and then you don't do another for another month, and then one of the nine of us got to do that show, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, it's in a different way in just scarcity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, is the rotation coming around for me again on one of these shows?
Basically.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like that, yeah.
Yeah, when I was running, I ran a show at Mutiny for a while. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I did feel pressure to be like, we got to get a diversity guy. We got to get a person. We got to get a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and it was like, did I have that covered this week? Because there were people keeping track and like would like come after you online, you know, social media or whatever, mm-hmm. if you didn't meet their quota, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I did feel pressure like that when I was running a show.
And I understand, like, to an extent of, like, you don't want to book the same people every couple weeks.
Sure.
And just strictly numbers, just strict statistic, you're going to catch a lot of the white dudes, a lot more.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's, you know, plenty of them.
There's just so... I, to a strictly logistic sense, understand it. The only time that I ever have an issue is... Well, first of all, I don't have, like, an out loud issue. Like, I'll never be, like, call people. Like, I see, like, Facebook rants.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
I slipped up one time on Facebook, and I said something, and then it's now been deleted. But I said something and I regretted it almost immediately.
Because people came after you, or you just didn't like
it? They didn't come after me. I hated how it sounded. It sounded like I was complaining. It sounded like I was being a bitch about it, you know? So,
okay.
So I deleted it. But I don't know. I think, I don't know how to say this. I think the Denver scene is too accepting.
Of like mediocre comics?
Yeah.
No, I hear you.
Yeah, I think Denver's too willing to book someone who maybe just... I've seen people get really good spots, and I'm like, I've never seen them kill a room. Not once.
Right.
And so it's like, for Denver, the only way for you to not be cool with everybody, like the only time people will stop fucking with you is when you're like a confirmed... criminal, basically, like
yeah,
like
they know
abuser.
You're a predator.
Yeah, you're a predator or abuser, like, and that's the only way. It's never just you're not funny, so no.
Yeah, that's true.
So I've seen so much of that. So it's like you're taking spots away from people who are really investing into trying to get into comedy, and they're first of all good,
right?
And then second, like really about it. And then I'll see those spots go to someone who literally. And I shouldn't say is bad at comedy, because I don't think that's the case. I think that their experience / investment isn't lining up with what they're getting. And that's not to hate on them. That's not, I feel like everybody that gets opportunities, good for you. But when I see that opportunity going to someone who isn't about it or isn't. See, because now I'm sounding like a gatekeeper, but I'm not.
Well, I mean, you're not booking anything to right,
I'm not,
off of, so.
Yeah, actually, I am.
Oh, you are?
I've started booking now. I'm with a group, Slam Nuba.
Slam Nuba.
Yeah, and not group. Group is the wrong word, but an organization.
Okay.
Yeah, an organization.
Okay, it's sounding shadier and shadier.
Yeah.
It's a cult.
And it's a cult. I'm fucking around. It's actually, they started with poetry.
Okay.
They started with poetry, and I met Hakeem Furious. You might know him, you might not. He's newer to stand-up comedy, but he's very well established in that community, like the poetry and all that. And they're branching into comedy.
Okay.
So I've started kind of working with them. So now I actually do have a couple shows that I'll book.
Nice.
And I book off funny. I book off good, like just funny. You know, I feel like there's going to come a point where someone I know is going to ask to be on the show. and I might have to say no. I might to be like, okay, but as an opener.
Sure.
You know? Yeah. And that sounds shitty.
Yeah, but no, I mean, you got to protect what's yours.
But I just want it to be good.
Yeah.
I just want the comedy to be good. And I feel like when people are too accepting, then that doesn't make us better. So I used to, this is very true. When I first started doing open mics, I would tell them, put me last. Put me dead last. It's 1 a.m.
Yeah, I was gonna say, six people in for a long night.
There. Six people in the room. People don't care anymore. They're like kind of tired of being there. That's the rooms that you get strong. That's where you get good. You know, so it's like, even if it's in a tough situation, if it helps you, then you should do it. I feel like when we just put anybody on, then it kind of, I don't even know how to say this without sounding like just a douche. Like, I said, like, I'm aware that this is sounding really.
I mean, it's a hard subject to talk about. Yeah, but I mean, it's not untrue or anything.
Yeah, so I mean, like, I see how this like makes me sound like I'm shitting on people. And it's,
No, you're good.
I mean,
you're not saying anybody's name specifically or anything. I'm not, so I mean, it's like a general thing.
Generally, I think that we're too accepting. I think that it's pretty softball. Mm. If you have just I've seen people just have an awful, terrible set. And it's happened to me. And then people were like, it's fine. And then they get up and, you know, obviously move on, but get better, learn from it. I've
like
seen them
showcases you've bombed and
then I'll see them the next time and they do the exact same routine.
Does they do better?
No.
Okay.
It's the same shit. But because they keep getting booked, they keep just doing it. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
There's no learning from it. Mm. And
there's a lot of you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours kind of.
There's
a
lot of that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of scratch my back, scratch yours. Yeah. And it's very rarely based off, are you funny?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That should be the gold standard. I mean, I guess, I think the, who knows? I was going to say, I think the bigger shows do that, but also, I don't know. I don't go to any of those bigger shows. I mean, the biggest show, monthly show I think of in Denver is like the Grolix versus, that's not like the club, mm-hmm. you know? And the club, I mean, that's a whole other thing. Have you been doing comedy works at all?
Yeah. Actually, I haven't been in a minute. I haven't been in a good minute.
Have you hosted?
Nah, not yet.
No.
Nah. I actually didn't start doing New Talent Night until this last October.
Okay.
I think this last October, or maybe a little earlier, maybe it was like September. But yeah, the back half of this last year is when I started doing Comedy Works.
Right on. Yeah, because their whole thing is like, it's got to be funny.
Yeah, and honestly, before then, I didn't even try to get into Comedy Works. Like, I didn't want to.
Till you like felt really confident about it, or just...
I don't know, because of what I had heard about Comedy Works, of what I had heard about like the, you put your name in and then it might take 6 months before you get on.
Yeah, yeah.
So my original idea was, I'll just get so good and my name is just so big. Like they just pick me up. Then I don't have to go through all the whatever. Not the case at all, but it didn't happen that way. But I did get on relatively soon after my first sign up. And I think I've done it 3 times now.
Nice.
Last time I was there, I was a B. And so, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. The next one is, like, almost famous, and, like, they don't do that very often, so.
So yeah, so we'll find out.
Yeah. But a lot of Bs have been hosting and stuff, so, you know.
I did see that. Even though I'm not there, I, like, keep up with it.
There's an aspect of, like, you got to play the game. Like, they want you to show up and, like, be there, you know, things like that.
I'm not a fan of the game.
I feel like you're playing a different game with all the social media stuff. I mean,
yeah,
it's like a different type of game.
Different type, yeah, exactly. So it's like, that's the other part of like comedy I haven't been amazing with. It's like, you know, one of my favorite comics who I know personally, No Way Noel. Mm-hmm. He used to call it kissing babies because you're out there politicking, basically.
Yeah, yeah, networking.
Networking,
whatever
politics.
Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, and so he would call it kissing babies, and he's like, I hate kissing babies. And I'm like, I didn't realize what he was talking about until a little bit later. I'm like, yeah, that's mostly what it is. Like, a lot of that is what it is. So it's like, there was a fat chunk of time where I was struggling to catch anything because one, I wasn't good at it. I wasn't good at kissing babies at all. But I like to think that I didn't need to. I like to think that just my performance was enough.
Yeah, yeah.
To get people to be like, okay, yeah, book them. You know.
But people book their friends. People book people they want to hang out with.
People will book their friends before they book someone who they know is good.
Right.
And yeah, that's what I'm coming up on that maybe potentially soon of like,
yeah, I might
have to say no to somebody who I like. Mm. So I imagine that's probably hard to do as a booker. So it's like, yeah, they'll book their friend before someone who's like good at it.
Yeah, yeah, I bump heads. Or, you know, it's hard for me to network, you know, and it bothers me when I see people who are really good at networking and I don't think are that funny.
Mm-hmm.
So, and yeah, some of those people are like hosting at Comedy Works now. Although I did see a noticeable difference from like then and now,
yeah,
to where they are. And it's because they've been getting books, so they've been getting stronger, you know, they've been putting in the reps and I can respect that.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it's hard for me when people that are good at that game of networking or whatever. And I'm just like,
and you know what? I try to keep my name out of those type of things. I try to keep my name strictly about performing. This is my first time saying yes to a podcast, by the way. Oh,
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Every time anyone asks me,
you're going to be in the conversation now. People are going to be talking about you. We're going to be naming names. Yeah. We name names on this podcast.
Yeah. And it's like, so if people have talked about me, I have no idea. If people have an issue with me, I have no idea because I don't have an issue with anyone out loud.
Oh, well, that doesn't matter.
You know what I mean? So it's like, right. So it's like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, if someone does have a problem, it's probably one way because I don't know about it. And if I have my own issues with people, then I don't talk about it. Mm. It's kind of just a personal.
Probably for the best. Yeah.
Right. Because I don't want to get caught up in the politicking.
Sounds healthy.
Yeah, I don't want to get caught up in like someone doesn't like someone else, but they know they rock with me or I rock with them. So then they don't want to book me because they think we're super close. It's all messy.
Yeah, yeah.
So I try to keep it about the jokes. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Right on. I like that. I appreciate you coming on, being honest. And let's do some of these lightning round questions. All right.
All right. Lightning round.
It doesn't have to be one word answers, but you know, first thing off the top of your head kind of a stuff. Okay. All right,
for sure.
All meant in fun.
Huh?
All meant in fun. It's all meant in fun.
All meant in fun?
It's all meant to be fun.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. I was like, is that the category?
All meant in fun.
Okay.
Who do you think you are?
Who do I think I am? I think I'm shit. See, it's supposed to be lightning, but it's like
shit.
It's supposed to be lightning. I think I'm one of the stronger I think I'm one of the stronger acts that I've built up through my performance. I think highly of myself. I don't think I'm the best, but I think that
you're confident.
Yeah, I'm confident in what I can do. I'm confident in the time that I've put in.
Yeah, definitely. Whenever I see you go up at a mic or something, I do think like that's a guy who has confidence.
Yeah. So it's like it's not even about a ego thing. It's about I know what I have done before walking up here.
Yeah. Even at the spelling bee show we were doing a couple weeks ago, I was trying to. Because you're riffing, you know, mm-hmm. on the word that Phil gives you. And, you know, I was trying to like ramble until I kind of fell into a joke in mm-hmm. my mind. I was like, oh, I'm just going to keep talking, improv it till, you know, and let the comedy come.
Mm-hmm.
And then you sat down on stage and you were just kind of taking it easy. And then I was like, man, that was good. And you're like, yeah, well, I took a minute, you know, like I sat down and like kind of centered myself. That might not be the word you used, but you did say that you sat down intentionally. To calm down and then
yeah.
then the funny came.
Mm-hmm. Is strict is
and I think that comes from confidence.
It's knowing what you can do.
Right.
It's knowing who you are.
You think you're funny?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Fucking hilarious.
Just so you think you like someone could like give you a word and then you can find something funny out of it mm-hmm. to make out of it.
Yeah. And that's what we did that night.
Mm. Well, you did it. Because sometimes I don't know. Sometimes I don't know if I'm funny. I'm like, I think I can be clever,
mm-hmm.
but well, that confidence, of like I can be funny, is
the thing about like the being confident about it is every single comedian, big or small, has that spark of tremendous confidence. Because why are you here? Is because at some point you thought, God, like my ideas, my thoughts, I'm just so fucking funny. I'm so interesting. People need to hear about this. So that's everybody. That's every single comedian. Even if it's small, even if it's small time, you have that pinch of supreme confidence because you think it might go well. Nobody shows up and they're like, I just fucking suck dick and I'm going to do comedy now.
Yeah.
A piece of you thinks I can kill. Mm. So it's about...
So you're cultivating that part.
Yeah, it's accepting it. First accepting it and then hammering on it that like, yes, you are good. You are funny. And that's how you need to carry yourself because I know some comics who are great writers and they actually have good jokes and then they get on stage and like... It's like...
Yeah, Devesh Patel.
Yeah. Don't do that shit. Devesh, I like Devesh.
Yeah, me too. He's been coming up a lot. So yeah, I've been
he's been
with
coming
him
up.
Yeah. On the podcast, yeah.
Well, I haven't seen him in a minute, but shout out to Devesh because kind of a similar situation. A piece of you knows, a piece of you in your heart sees yourself as being very good. So accept it and really lean into it.
So you don't think it's coming from a desperate need for approval for you? From you?
Some, some people it is. Some people it might be. some people it might be like that. Let me get some type of approval. And you can kind of tell. You can kind of tell sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
But for the most part, I will say that every comedian has a little spark in them that thinks they're a star.
I like that. Yeah, I got to start coming from that point of view for sure. That's great. The next question is, what makes you so great? And I think that's a pretty good example of it. I mean, you feel like you have this confidence and stuff. And
I feel like I know I can be. I feel like...
God, I wish I had that confidence, man.
You have to. You have to. Because it's like, why are you doing it if you don't? Why are you doing it if you're not? And it's like, the first time I did stand-up ever was a high school talent show. Mm. And the room was 1,000 people. It was a
damn
first time I touched the mic. First time I did jokes.
Did you do original material or
original material?
Oh, damn.
I actually had to run my material by the
teachers or whatever.
Yeah, whoever was in charge. I forget who, but like I had to run it by them first and I had to rewrite it and like it had to be, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I got up there, I was terrified to the point I accidentally turned the mic off because my hand was shaking so much when I went to grab it that I like flipped the switch.
Yeah.
And, because I was just shaking so bad. And after that, because it went decent, looking back, it was dog shit. But
sure.
But at the time, they liked it. Like, people liked it. And it was like, after that, like, I felt like I could really do it, you know? And then starting going to open mics, I was 19. It's like knowing that you could do it, knowing that you could do good. Because I had like one or two people who really believed that I was good. You know, especially doing those hella late open mics. By the time it was me, like I said, I went last. Getting up last and making people laugh in like the hardest circumstance, getting a room full of willing participants, like it does put you on a different level. You know, it's like wearing a weight jacket, doing pull-ups, and then you take the weight jacket off.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. What motivates you?
What I see for myself in the future. You know, it's like that's motivation. Potential, just the potential of it. And also what motivates me a lot is seeing others do it. So if I see another comic get something great and I know them and I know that they did it, it's like you can do it. Like it's like, why not you? You know, you gotta be like, why not? And then do it. You know, it's like, for me, I'm motivated by the idea of success. Just simply the idea of it is fulfilling. So go after it. And when it happens, it's fucking delicious. Yeah.
Yeah. The correct answer was spite, but spite. That's good. Yeah, that's good. Are you an artist?
You know what? I hadn't seen it that way for like a while. I hadn't seen that that way for a while until I guess recently I heard people refer to themselves as comedy artists. And I was like, that's interesting.
Comedy artists.
Yeah, I was like, that's interesting because it's like I've always considered the arts as like the other genres, like, you know, painting, sculpting, poetry, even singing. I had never considered comedy a part of that until I got, I guess, deeper into it. And then I seen other people's appreciation for comedy because it's truly a lane that not everybody can just blend in. So it's kind of like your craft. It's a, and it's your craft. It's an art. It absolutely is an art. But I didn't find that to be the case until recent. Yeah.
Yeah. So you just started talking about deeper material, or you just realized like, I don't know, like how you can like manipulate audiences in a way, you know, like theater in a way.
Yeah.
You know? I say manipulate, that sounds weird, but you know.
Yeah. It's a performance.
Yeah. You're performing.
It is a performance, like at the very end of it. So yeah, absolutely. Comedy is an art. And especially because, you know, arts are often talents, you know, just your abilities, and not everybody can fall in line with that. So it's absolutely is an art. Yeah.
Pie or cake?
What kind of pie?
Any kind. Your favorite. Versus what the best cake? Whatever you can say.
Cake.
Okay, what cake were you thinking of?
I was thinking, like, honestly.
Yeah.
Because any cake.
Any cake?
Yeah. Because I was thinking about what specific type of pie versus, and then I got to cake, it was just any cake. So
what
cake.
Kind of pie would be able to compete with cake? Like pecan. What was the pecan? Yeah.
Pecan pie.
Yeah, yeah.
As I got older, I kind of liked
sweetness.
I kind of liked sweet potato pie a little bit more.
Because it's like older. It's got a different edge to it.
Yeah, I used to hate it when I was younger, but like now yeah. I'm older, I kind of like it. Interesting. Yeah,
it's an acquired taste.
Yeah,
sweet potato pie.
Maybe.
Do you like the burnt marshmallow on top?
No,
no,
okay. I do not.
My wife loves s'mores because she says that's the only thing you get like a burnt flavor with, and she insists that burnt is a flavor.
I believe it. It's a bad flavor to me. Well, but you know, to me, toasty, I don't like burnt.
Toasty's next to burnt, but you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Facts.
Interesting. I've been talking a lot about cookies recently. I've been thinking about doing a cookie bracket. If you had to pick, you know, like a March Madness type of bracket,
okay,
for Thin Mints or Oreo. One of them has to move forward. You know?
Thin Mint.
Thin Mint?
Thin Mint.
Interesting.
Yeah.
When you want a cookie, do you go to like a bakery or do you go to the grocery store? Do you break and bake?
I don't know, whatever fits in my pocket easier as I'm walking out.
Fits in your pocket?
Yeah. Oh, I steal all the time.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. If I'm going
that
to
could be a whole TikTok channel right there. Stealing cookies.
Stealing. No, because as soon as one blows up, they come in for you.
They come for
you. Yeah, they will. Absolutely. I've seen, you know, police? What? I've seen someone get caught for their criminal activity.
Off of off social TikTok. Media?
Yeah, because they recognized the shoes and then did the forensics or whatever.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
What, was it a bat? I mean, like, was it like he fucking
was like,
murder?
It wasn't murder, but he was like
it was more burglary. Than just stealing cookies.
Yeah, it was like okay. Stealing. It was stealing more than. It was in between cookies and murder.
Yeah. So that's a broad range.
Yeah. So it was something. He was doing something. But yeah, they caught him off his videos.
Crazy.
Right?
Interesting.
Yeah.
What were his videos about?
Dancing.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, dance videos.
A lot of crossover between dancers and
thieves.
Criminals.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. There's something interesting there. Yeah, whatever fits in your pocket. What do you go for when you steal? Is there like a certain quote?
Oh, let me I'm fucking this. Around. I was joking. Like I'm not incriminating myself.
Sure.
But
friend of the show Patrick Scott talks about stealing all the time from like King Soopers and Safeway.
Uh-huh.
Like he'll go to the self checkout.
Sure.
And if he could like grabbed like a spice, you mm-hmm. know, like he doesn't want to pay for, you know, $4 for cinnamon. So he'll just like throw it down his sleeve or he'll go through self-checkout and just like not ring in a bushel of garlic, you know? So he likes to steal like that.
Okay.
So like he's got, I don't know. Is there a go-to method for you? Although I know you said you didn't want to incriminate yourself. So maybe.
There was one time that I tried to steal and who I was with, they didn't know what was going on, so it wasn't her fault. But at the same time, she gave it up, and I was like,
"Oh, like right before you left, yeah, she's I was like, no, well, I gotta
you
pay
shut
for
the
this.
Fuck up." Yeah, I'm right,
like and a pack of gum or some shit.
It was, yeah, but it was like that was the one. I was like, "All right, whatever." And
well, that's not a ride or die right there.
Yeah, exactly.
You got rid of her, I'm sure.
And but yeah, so I don't know. So yeah, the thin. I think thin mints.
Yeah, we originally got there from cookies. We went far afield.
We did.
Yeah. Well, you said things to keep in your pocket, but you can't put a whole thing of thin mints in your pocket.
Nah, because I don't do it that often, honestly.
Yeah. No.
And we don't have any
dwell on it. I just think it's funny
anymore. I used to, but I don't know. I kind of grew out of it.
Another comic, Byron Graham, talked about going to Whole Foods all the time and just doing the buffet and just walking out with a
yeah they won't
a box
yeah they won't come after you
yeah
yeah they won't but it's like too much.
You just like the thrill, I think, you know?
Some people do. Some people do, but I haven't stolen in like a long time.
That's probably for the best.
Yeah.
It definitely is.
What's your problem?
What's my problem? I have a few, but the main one is money. The main
yep,
one.
Hear that's that.
That's
hear
like
that.
That's all, that will solve every single one of your
rent
problems.
Is coming due.
It'll solve every single
one
of your
problems.
You
believe in more money, more problems?
Mm.
No?
I believe that the problems exist. I just believe that money is a much larger problem.
The lack of money.
Right, the lack of money is then like, oh, I gotta pay a dude to do my taxes. No, it's like, where the fuck am I gonna live next month?
Yeah, yeah.
You know. So it's like, yep. I feel like more problems, they're less significant problems.
Right on. Well, I appreciate you playing with me here doing the lightning rounds. So we've been ending by doing a pitch for a movie.
Pitch for a movie.
Yeah, so we don't have to write the whole script or anything, but we'll do it together here. Okay. What's your favorite genre?
If I go to the movie, it's probably something. What was the last movie I saw? I think I saw the Spider-Man movie.
Okay.
So, you know what's crazy, actually? I don't have a full pitch, but I wrote something down in my notes. So, you know when you wake up from a dream and it's like immediately you forget it, like within seconds, like you forget your dream. And I knew it was like a whole storyline. So I woke up, grabbed my phone and typed in what I could about it. It was about, let me see if I can find it because I was like, this could be a movie. Shit. Okay. Yeah. I wrote like three lines. Adopt a kid and gotta kill someone with help of the kid every blank. Bring him back to the door or they die. So from what, that was what I wrote. And then I was like, went back to sleep.
Did you write blank in there or is there
no,
a blank?
It's just okay. It's just like underscores.
Okay.
It's just like three underscores.
I was
underscores.
Just curious.
Yeah. So when I was reading it later and like gathering it, I think it was like from those like haunted kid type of movies.
So you wanted to do a horror film?
I think.
That's a horror film.
I think it's a horror film. So you adopt a kid and it's probably this couple they've been trying and they just, nothing's working out. So they adopt. And but it says you got to kill someone with the help of the kid every, and then that's where the underscore is. So it's like every, I guess, so often, and just the door. I wrote the door, but I remember there being like a red door.
Ooh, okay.
And
which is funny, I have a red door.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. You didn't notice when you came in.
I was looking like at everything else, but also I have a short memory.
It's all good.
I
think that's enough to go off of.
You bring them back to the door. Or they die. The kid will die.
Interesting. The door. So the door is a thing. Okay, we can figure something out here. I do like I like the idea of like you being the dad, you know, and you and your wife trying to have a kid. It's not working out. I like to put the guests in the movie somehow. So if it's you, you know, you're trying to have a kid, it's not working out. Let's just say, you know, are you okay if we say you have an urethra and it's not going to work?
Yes.
King of the Hill style.
Is that? I've never seen King of the Hill.
Yeah, that was a bit. They only had one kid because he's got a narrow
urethra.
Yeah, urethra. Yeah, and every now and then, like, you know, maybe you have a best friend or something. He's like, oh, it's King of the Hill syndrome. And
gotcha.
Everyone's like, yeah, King of the Hill. Okay, I got it.
Gotcha.
And you're like, shut up.
All right, now I get it.
Okay. Right. Okay, so you got to have this kid. I like the idea of like once a decade or something, he has to commit a crime. And then you can see it like over the years, you know, like he starts off when he's like, you get him when he's maybe 12. Or do you want a younger kid?
Younger. I want it to be like 8 because he has to participate.
Okay, yeah.
He like has to be. Like,
8 makes it harder.
Yeah.
He's like a League of Assassins. You adopt him from a League of Assassins type of thing.
Down there, yeah. And so like, I don't know what's up with the door.
Yeah, but the door is coming late or something.
Yeah, I know they had to go to the door for something. I don't remember what it was, but they had to go to the door for whatever reason. But yeah, so the kid has to be like, a main component in it.
Okay.
Like he has to be the reason that someone dies.
But he doesn't have to commit the murder. He's just
I don't know.
A part of it.
I don't know the details. I just
know
that
we're making it right now.
What do you think? What do you think would be more engaging is that the kid
has to kill them. The kid has to be the murderer.
He has to be the murderer. Like in whether it be as a result of his actions or like he calls
the
police on
someone.
He has
to directly end the person's life. That's a little dark. I think that's hard for an 8-year-old. I mean, that's hard to watch.
Right. True. So that does make it a lot worse. And that also makes it a tougher situation.
I think he has to be an integral part.
Yeah.
Okay. So is there some kind of like magic that's going on that like can tell and he'll die if this doesn't happen, or if is there like someone watching, or is it just like some kind of pact that you made?
I think it might be a pact thing.
Okay.
I think it might be a pact thing. So it could be.
So you and your wife want this kid so bad.
You know what?
You're willing to murder for him.
Yeah. So it's
multiple murders.
It's a pact thing. And the door, that's where the kid actually comes from. But the kid is unaware of that. So like, for whatever reason, because adoption agencies, you have to meet X, yeah, Y, and Z standards.
You're getting denied for some reason.
You can't even adopt.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can adopt, but you want this kid so bad. Like you.
And then these people show up at your door.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a magical thing.
Yeah, it's like there's the red door and the kid. They like bring a kid.
Yeah, they're like, hey, you can have him, but there's a dark side.
Uh-huh. And then.
And you guys just agree to it because you want a kid so bad.
It could be either realistic or almost not demonic, but like.
I like the fact that there's like a dark mystical kind of element to it. Like these beings need this blood sacrifice for you to keep this child.
Okay. Yeah. Like just beings. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Not like spiritual shit, but like beings. Like there's just these people.
It's like mystical in some vague way.
And then these entities.
Yeah. Entities is a good word.
And that's what they need and want, but you get to adopt. You get to have your child, and it starts as a baby, and starting at the age of, let's say, 8, he has to do it.
By 8, he has to murder someone, or you guys have to give us this blood sacrifice, mm-hmm. or we're gonna take him back.
Yeah, and the kid dies.
This is great. How does the first death come about?
The first death.
Are you fighting it at first, or are you like planning this death this whole 8 years?
Well, yeah, you have 8 years to get ready for it. You have eight years to be like, holy shit. Well, first of all, are we even going to?
Are they for real?
You
have to have discussions with your wife about this.
Right. So it's like, it's a whole process building up to that 8 years. Mm-hmm. And I would like to think that something happens.
Like you pick someone who's like a dick. Just someone who like.
Well, I was about to say like something happens to like remind them that this is very real.
Okay. Yeah.
This is not like you get to blow this off.
Maybe first 6 years they've been blowing it off.
Right. Yeah, and then I want for something to happen, like there has to be like a thing that reminds them.
Stormy night, lightning happens, they appear right in the night,
like the entities come back,
and they're like, hey man,
on some don't forget shit.
They're
like, hey.
And they're becoming more desperate because they thought you'd murder someone right away, mm-hmm. and now they're like almost like vampires starving for this blood,
right?
In a way, they don't,
because they need it.
Yeah, they need it.
They need it, and they're, you don't know how badly they actually need this.
But now they're desperate, they're getting desperate, they're like, you only got 2 more years, you better fucking do this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then the kid, I want for the parents to be involved, because you can't just be like, okay, go kill somebody.
The parents have to help.
And then that creates a issue of like, how are we raising him? And then like, they have to help do it in a way that the kid can bear it and understand what's happening, because he's not like, he's not one of the entities, he's just a kid. And so it's like, I think that would be really interesting.
This is interesting. And then I think, so okay, yeah, so you guys do end up murdering the first person somehow.
Kid grows up,
and then he ends up like fighting these entities in a way to break away from that. Or do you like that he, you know, just has to keep doing murders? Then at 18 again, you guys do another murder.
I think that
we see multiple murders.
Multiple murders as he grows up and becomes a dude. And I don't know. The dream ended.
Dude, the last one. Okay, yeah, dream ends, but movie's gonna keep going. Yeah. Last one, you guys sacrifice yourself. Like third death, he's 28. Either you or your wife is dying of cancer, so you're just like, just take one of us.
Uh huh.
You know,
oh shit.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it's
to be like, you're this round.
Yeah, so we don't have to like give up an innocent, you know, in a way. And we can't find someone we know is like guilty of something. So
I also like the idea of like, since they're desperate and they need this, whatever, they shorten the time span.
Oh fuck.
And so it was 10 years. And then now he's 18 and he's doing it. Well, now it's actually 6.
Yeah, okay.
And then they come back a little later. And as he gets older, it has to happen more often.
Yeah, so then I think that motivates you. I like at the end, you guys kill these entities in some way. And so he's free.
Yeah, they get away from it. They get away from it somehow. I don't know how that's going to happen.
I think the parents need to sacrifice themselves. And like somehow they...
Like that's a loophole?
A loophole, or they pay some... No, they just kill these things in a way that, you know, they don't survive.
Uh-huh.
Because, I mean, ultimately, they've been murderers for the past 30 years or however many.
Right.
And, you know, maybe that, I mean, it's a way to redeem you, you know, the parents in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And then
for
the
taking
kid,
this on.
Yeah, and then the kid gets to kind of, you know, a fresh start.
I like that.
Yeah, you want some hope at the end, you know? You want mm-hmm. someone to be like, okay, he deserves it. This kid better be fucking curing cancer or something, though, right? I mean, like, that's his whole arc is like, I'm murdering, so I better be doing something great with my life.
Yeah, he starts stand-up at the end.
Oh, God.
He goes to an open mic at the end.
I'm giving laughter to so many people.
Yeah.
And then you're just disappointed. He's like, I'm murdering. They're like, but not the way you need to be, son.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. I figure there could be like a lighthearted thing to it about this murder.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, oh, this is tearing us apart inside and all these murders.
Yeah.
It could be like a lighthearted thing where like, okay, we got to murder this person again.
Uh-huh. I think that would be later.
Yeah.
Like at first it's like world shaking. Yeah. It's like world shaking at first, but then like a little bit later. And then that's also a piece of it is like, is that fucked up that they like, it doesn't matter anymore.
I think it turns out these entities have been eating your soul. It's actually the death of your soul. Every time you kill somebody, they get a little piece of your soul. And then at the end, there's like nothing left, or you like redeem yourself, you know, like self-sacrifice.
Like, and then it's like somehow. A redemption somehow?
Yeah, for the parents and for so the kid can go on and like kind of live his life.
Do you think the parents are redeemable? Because at any time they could have been like, all right, this is done. We're not doing
but
this.
They love the kid. So, mm-hmm. I mean, there's at least a reasonable amount of, okay, I get why they're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they die at the end, at least it's like kind of a wash. I mean, I feel like that's more of a wash than being like, they just live their lives murdering people. No.
Mm-hmm. All right. I see.
There's something there.
Yeah, there's something, but yeah, it's something, but yeah, it was like I typed out these three lines and I was like, I'll come back to that later.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah,
well, I appreciate you letting me play with that. You know, hopefully, who do you think would play you in the movie?
Jaden Smith.
Jaden Smith. Oh, interesting, interesting. Yeah. Okay, who plays your wife?
I said Jaden Smith.
I was really thinking quick. Will Smith, but also he's a little old at this point. He's, you know, older. so Jaden can step in. Is it long haired Jaden or is he shaved hair? Is it like Karate Kid hair? Hair,
not yes.
That's what
yes, in a different
of,
style. In a different
I think
style.
Of Jaden Smith, that's who. What the movie comes to mind?
You know what's crazy is that was like that was a that's part of the reason I say Jaden Smith. So I remember going to see Karate Kid in theaters, and I was like so inspired by it because my family was supposed to move to Korea.
Oh shit!
Right. So like, God, or we might have
my life story.
Right. So I looked at that and I was like, that is me. That will. Yeah. So that's like that movie strikes a very specific chord for me.
Cool. Yeah. Did you ever learn karate? You take karate lessons?
I took taekwondo.
Like nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yellow
I
belt.
I did kempo in the start off from taekwondo.
That is much
so my
more
kicks
advanced.
Yeah. Are like taekwondo style kicks.
Kempo. Like I've heard.
American kempo karate.
Nice.
Jiu-jitsu.
I feel like everybody did a little bit of something.
Yeah, you know, I've seen The Karate Kid, you know?
Yeah.
Do you watch Cobra Kai?
Nah.
Dude, so good.
Yeah. That's what I've heard.
Love it.
But I have almost no reason to watch it. I never...
Karate, teens, drama.
The first Karate Kid before my time. So I like just never was interested in it.
All right. Well, Will Smith is a producer. Now so they might bring Jaden in at some point.
Okay. That's
or Jackie Chan.
Or Jackie Chan.
I mean, that would be incredible.
Yeah.
Just because he's like, you know.
Right. It's Jackie
Chan.
Royalty
in China.
Yeah. Basically.
Okay. So Jaden Smith's going to play you. Who plays your wife?
Zoe Kravitz.
Okay. Kid, do you know any young actors?
Mm-mm.
Me either.
I don't know.
As you get older, it's weirder and weirder to know young
I don't
actors.
Know. I don't know these people. You know, I don't know about them. And like someone will say something about a show featuring whoever and I just don't fucking know. I'm out of the loop like that.
Yeah.
So, no idea about the kid, but not a clue.
You want to be a girl or a boy?
Maybe a girl. I think a daughter. I think it's a little harder to watch like a little 8-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Kill somebody.
I put in young female actors and
you went
too old. They're too old.
You went on private mode before you searched that, right?
Nope.
You're on a list now.
I'm not looking for nudes.
They got you on a list.
Well, you know, I've definitely Googled some weird stuff for this podcast. So.
Okay. Fucking. There's...
Yeah, these are all too old. I mean, they're all teens. And I mean, they're all adults now.
Yeah, they're
like fucking.
That's like 19, 20-year-olds.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, that'll be later. Okay.
That'll be later.
Yeah.
Also, child actors suck.
I like the idea of the leader of these entities is Zendaya.
Really?
Yes.
What?
I just like Zendaya. Been thinking about her a lot. Since Spider-Man.
I didn't watch her show at all.
You can always tell what movies I've been watching recently by the actors I cast in these movies. When I'm watching a lot of Marvel shit, it's like, oh, Chris Evans would be great. What about Robert Downey Jr.? From watching Cobra Kai, I'm like, we got to get Zolo from fucking Cobra Kai.
Yeah, it's just whoever.
That's who it's in my mind, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, that's open. Maybe, okay. You know, she can be a CG character just doing the voice, you know? Okay. I think we got everybody cast. What do we call it? Sorry, you can hear my dog whining in the background. I'm sorry about that.
What do we call this movie?
It's like a Red Door. No, because like when the it's like a door that appears in like your basement or something.
Yeah, it's that's where I saw it. That's where I saw it being is in their basement.
Gotcha.
So I don't know what you would call it.
Growing up
or
murderer.
I've
murdering. Something about like he's murdering adopted murder or murder adoption. No, you're not adopting technically.
Not technically. So I don't know. I feel like this is gonna be one of those one or two word movies.
Yeah. I like Red Door, although should it be Black Door.
I think The Gift.
Ooh, that's good. The Gift, yeah.
I think The Gift would be
The Gift, not bad. Not bad.
I think that's my movie.
The Gift.
Yeah.
Right on. Cool. Well, I do let people sign us off however they see fit. I will say Wakanda forever. Be excellent to each other. I'm not just saying that because you're here. I usually say that on all the podcasts.
That's fucking hilarious. Okay.
So where can people find you? And then you can give a signature sign off.
Where can people find me? You can find me on Instagram, the other Darius, TikTok of the same name. And that's my main social medias that I use for my comedy shit. I do have a Twitter, but that one's like, I don't know why, but like my Twitter is like, I've never been like a go follow me on Twitter. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
you're a visual guy. You don't want to type words.
Yeah. But I tweet all the time.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
I tweet all the time, but I'm never like follow my Twitter. I don't know why.
Okay.
I have no idea why, but it's Dr. Umar's nephew.
All right.
Yeah.
Where can people find the show that you might be booking soon or are you booked on anything soon?
I'm going to be booking for Slam Nuba. You can find that. I'll be posting about it all the time, but HQ is the Redline Contemporary Art Center.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where kind of HQ is. But again, if you can find me on any social medias, message me. And it's just that simple. It's really just that simple. Just talk to me. Just message me. And it'll be whatever we're trying to do. If you want to get on the show, if you want to, whatever. That's it. I believe. So yeah, Slam Nuba, Redline. My Instagram, my TikTok, that's really it.
So however you want to sign off, the culmination of this whole experience for you, the right here. Culmination
of this whole experience, my first podcast, my first guest spot on a podcast. It's pretty cool.
Flattered.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Yeah.
Peace.
Dude.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.